हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
Okay, page 92, appendix 2, second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, appendix 1, summary of the second canto. Chapters 1 through 3, methods of yoga. In the last chapter of the previous canto, Maharaj Pariksit had asked about the duty of a man about to die. Srila Sukadeva Goswami personally recommends the yoga of constant engagement in chanting and hearing the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. This is the bhakti marg of Vedic Vaishnava spiritual culture. Secondarily, he describes a mystic method for meditation upon the universal form of the Lord. This, the Vedic Jnanakanda, compared to the Jnana Yajnana Chapyanye verse of Bhagavad Gita 9.15, is for that class of spiritualists inclined to impersonalism. Since Brahmadev, the demigod of creation, rid his consciousness of ignorance and forgetfulness by meditating on Virat Rup, the jnana method is proven to be effective in readying one for the personal conception of Godhead. Right. So, in other words, bhakti is the main thing. That's what you want to do, is be able to absorb yourself, meditate on the Lord. Now, if we're distracted by material energy, then by connecting to the Vishwarupa, and then from that back to the personality of Godhead, then it's a bona fide method. Brahma did it, it worked for him. Therefore, it's a proper method. But what's recommended is the direct. It's not that you prefer. It's in areas where the direct doesn't work. Does that make sense? Right? Where we are so absorbed in something material that we then try to see Krishna in that and then get back to him as a person. Right? Okay. But if someone is inclined to that prominently, that's what is mentioned here about someone who has an attachment to impersonalism. Right? Thereafter, one may take up the yoga marga meditation upon the Lord in the heart. Sukadeva Goswami goes from there to recount Vedic systems of worship, upasana kanda. Demigod worship is taken up by persons who cherish many different worldly desires, in contrast to the Jnanakandis and the Yoga Margis who seek liberation. Vishnupasana, worship of Vishnu, is meant for progress away from materialism in the direction of the religious and moral ideal. Dharma Artha, see Srimad Bhagavatam 2.38. Vishnupasana is also for Akamis or transcendentalists with no material desires, i.e. the Lord's pure devotee, Sri Srimad Bhagavatam 2.39 purport. Then Sukadeva Goswami concludes that separate methods of worship for persons' desires of sense gratification, persons' desire to advance spiritually, and persons free of desires is not the way of Udaradhi, the Vedantists, who have seen through all the Vedas to their conclusion. The Samatha Panta, Vedic path approved by great authorities, see if Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.12, is Vishnu worship alone. Right, so, oh yeah. So when Vishnupasana is taken up by all classes of men, it yields up the Upanishadic treasures of Atma Prasada, Astanga, and Kaivalya for society as a whole, revolutionizing it. So many methods are given because people have so many ideas of what they want. But the worship of Vishnu, that gives all of these. Right? It's not what it's meant for. Being the highest worship is meant for the highest results, but being the highest form of worship, it also gives the results of all these lower forms. So therefore, Sukadev Goswami is recommending, therefore, worship of Vishnu is what everybody should be doing, no matter what you want. Because by worshiping Vishnu, eventually you get purified, and then you'll turn towards bhakti. But of course, it'll be slower for those who are approaching for material desire. And it'll be quicker who are functioning from pure devotion. Right? So very quickly they'll come to the platform of prema. And the others, it may take some time. So that's the whole point. Is yoga is there, so many methods are there, but the essence is worship of the Supreme Lord. That's your best method, above all other methods. Right? Chapter 4 through 7. The Virat Rup, manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Sukadeva Goswami ecstatically glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, praying to him for empowerment in the matter of reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he relates the sarga creation of the Lord by which the ingredients of the universe are manifest. An account of the visarga creation follows. Brahmadev meditates on the subtle Virat manifestation in the heart of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. By the original sacrifice known as Purusha Shukta, Brahma mentally offers ingredients drawn from his mind from that Virat Rupa so as to create the cosmic manifestation of physical embodied living entities. Sri Vishnu appears in his different incarnations to maintain the creation. These appearances become the nectary subject matter discussed by his devotees. So, therefore, he's maintaining the creation, so you can say it's part of the element of sarga, visarga, or sthana. But at the same time, is why does he do that? Because he's doing it to attract the devotees. So then it becomes part of the potion. So actually, it's in its own category of ishanukata. Right? So that always hearing topics about the Lord, it covers all these other things. Right? That's the whole point. It's when you're dealing with Krishna, then everything is covered. Right? So here is that you have the primary creation that creates all the ingredients and the potencies by which then further creation can be done. Because just creating the ingredients, still you can do nothing with them. Krishna has to enter them as attractiveness so that they can be attracted to each other. Right? Means as we see is that your furniture is made out of, let's say, wood. Wood is made out of a combination of things attracted from the earth. Right? Then the earth is made out of, it has its elements, and then those have their molecules which are attracted together, atoms which are attracted together, actual atoms. Does that make sense? So you're going through this whole thing. So it's that attraction that holds it all together. And that's all there. We're attracted to the planet, so we stay here on this planet. We don't go floating off into space. You know, stuff like that. Does that make sense? Because the problem wouldn't be so much that we float off into space. It's when we float off into space, wherever else we might end up, we might make trouble. Therefore, better we stay here. Right? Okay? So now Brahma, because you only have the Virat, the primary creation, the blueprint from that. Now Brahma, meditating upon that, then through that meditation, then everything else is manifest. So that's what the Purusha Shukta is describing, how from the primary creation, you're getting the secondary creation through that sacrifice done by, Brahma. Yes?
Mark, previously when we heard about three types of Brahma, the Hiranyagarbha, the Virat, and the Chakramukha Brahma.
Yes.
That Virat, is that the same as being referred to here?
Yes. Virat is technically the lotus.
Okay.
Like that. But then Hiranyagarbha is the heart of, Garbhadaksha Vishnu. It's the, because it said, then the Lord wanted to taste. So therefore then, the eye and the objects that can be seen, and then, fire, light is created so that all this can happen. So he's the origin, that's Hiranyagarbha. Then you have Virat, is what can be done with all that. What means, in other words, what are the various ways of seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, and then the combinations of that, so you get 8,400,000, then all their situations they can be in, the 14 planetary systems, mountains, valleys, flatlands, water, space, and all these different things. Right? So then, yeah. So that's why Purusha Shukta is important, because it's showing this, how it came here. So that means you reverse it, you can see how it gets back to the Lord.
That means the universal form of the Lord manifests as that lotus flower? Is it?
No, it means that's the gross of the subtle. In other words, the subtle of the subtle is Hiranyagarbha. The gross of the subtle is Virat. Then you have the gross manifestation. You know, and that gross then has gross and subtle. So there's the gross body and then the subtle body. So the gross manifestation is Stula and Linga Shuri. Chapters 8 through 10, creation. Having heard all this with rapt attention, Maharaj Parikshit asked many questions with the aim of getting from Srila Sukadeva the philosophical basis upon which Bhagavad Katha is to be understood in reply. Oh, it to be understood. In reply, yes.
Seems that Maharaj Parikshit, he was at the end of his life. So apparently he didn't need all that knowledge, all those details about this, that, but he had no time. Means he wanted to concentrate on the essence. Still he asked those questions, is it for benefit of others? Or?
You have that aspect, but to note would be that these technical things are how you get yourself out of the material world, if there's anything here that attracts you. In other words, always remember Krishna, that's the pastimes of the Lord. Never forget Krishna is all these things. So therefore he had it complete on both sides. Plus, he only had to hear it once. You know, it's just like here, this concept of the Chakra Shloki and this the primary, the secondary creations, these elements, we've been discussing it for 4 years, and now we can appreciate and see how it functions and how it works, and we're comfortable with it. Like, now, what's that, you know? So, but he did it, and hearing it once, then, you know, so then he got through, and then it gets the 10th canto where that absorption is. And then the end of that, more, you know, final technical things on how you practically apply all that, and then he left.
So basically he heard it, he said, okay, I'm not interested in it, let's move forward. Is that correct?
No, it won't be so much as not interested, it means he's heard that, now he can move to the next stage. You know, it'd be like the difference in, okay, we start school, you know, you have first grade, and 12 years later, then, you know, we, at least our mom hopes we graduate, right? You know. But let's say you take one of these, you know, very intelligent people, you know, so it's that, you know, they'll do a few grades, you know, and, you know, in a couple of years, then they'll do their high school, and then they'll do their university, you know. So, you know, they're already in university by the time they're 12, you know. So and I think, you know, they're already, how you say, you know, doing lectures at universities with their PhD when they're 16. So what does that mean? They just heard it, understood it, moved to the next. So it's not that it's not of value. It's just that they can just, hearing it, contemplating it, move to the next. While us, we have to hear it, contemplate it, practice it in so many ways. But by their contemplation, they've already gotten the results of its practice. Does that make sense? So he's going from the position of a king, right, to a Paramahamsa. So then, you know, these preliminary stages are useful. So we see is that the Sukadeva doesn't have problem dealing, because if everything's Krishna, then it's how to see Krishna everywhere. It's just that we focus more on the mechanical side of it, while then they focus more on the result of it. Is that then you if anything is Udipan to remember Krishna. Right? So that makes it special. So that's why you can see is that it's that kind of understanding, but on that always remember Krishna side of it, that the gopis see the tamal trees, which are black, and remember Krishna. So all it is we're recommending the same thing, but they have love for Krishna, so therefore just anything connected in any way to Krishna they see. We don't have that love, you know, so we have affection for on the mundane. So when we see those things, it reminds us of the mundane. So we have to be more mechanical in it so that we break it down, that we don't look at it from the mundane side, that we just look at it from the transcendental. And then from the transcendental, go to the devotional. Does that make sense? Well, they're already on the devotional platform, so they just see anything, and it's Krishna. Right? So everything is Krishna. But it reminds them immediately of Krishna, the person. Well, here everything is Krishna, but we don't see Krishna. It's illusion. So by this knowledge, we break it down. So for him, it's just ways of seeing Krishna everywhere. For us, it's actually, you know, more of an essential method. Does that make sense? You know, so it applies to everybody. Just they do it quick, just like you see the acharyas. They start from the seeming, you know, ordinary platform and come to the platform of prema quite quickly. But they go through all the stages. Krishna also, he goes there and he learns from a spiritual master. Of course, he does that, you know, he learns the arts in 64 days. So one art, one day, you know, like this science of music, he learns that in one day. You know, so us, it would take it might take 64 years, but he does it in one day. So in 64 days, he learned all the 64 arts. And then before that, he would have learned his duties. You know, as a Kshatriya, he would have learned all the 14 scriptures. He would have learned the lifestyle, the Vedic lifestyle, the rules and regulations. So it's not, he wouldn't be there for very long. So basically 2 months on the arts and then whatever time it took on the others. So he wasn't at Gurukul that long. So what someone else would do in, you know, 12, 24, 36 years, he did in, you know, months. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. So the great personalities appreciate working from those platforms. Just they do it quicker. You know, it's just like, let's say, for a cook who knows how to cook, how long do they look at the recipe? Yeah, it's just a matter to kind of see what the ingredients and kind of get an idea of the proportions and the concept of what kind of preparation you're making. You know, how much you use, how long you cook it, you know, that, you know, at, you know, whatever it is, so much degree you cook it for such and such long until you get it to this kind of state. He doesn't bother with that at all. You know? So that's the difference, but it's valuable. So if you don't know that much, you have to go through and do it exactly. You really don't know. You actually have to sit down and study it. You know, get ingredients, you know, get things out, get measures. You know, if you're practiced, then you just, as you're reading it, you can cook it. And if you're more practiced, it's just a concept. Does that make sense? So this knowledge is the same. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. In reply, Sukadeva Goswami tells the king of the four seed verses of Bhagavatam that Krishna taught Brahma. And Brahma, in turn, taught Narada. From this Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, 10 subject matters characteristic of Srimad Bhagavatam expand, right? So, means you have this knowledge of Chaturshloki. So what makes the difference between Chaturshloki and Bhagavatam? Because it's the same knowledge. But it has the visesha, the uniqueness, that it's categorized in these 10 topics. Right? In other words, the Chaturshloki is explained through 10 topics. Right? And that's done in story form. Right? That makes sense. Well, if need be, we can take the whole day, you know, it means morning and evening, or at least we'll finish the night and get something if you make it till 8. Okay. Appendix 2. Even if you don't. Okay. Questions 28 through 42 are covered in this study of Canto 2. Chapter 1, question 28. Question 28, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.22. The fortunate king Parikit, inquiring further, said, O Brahmana, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the concept can be fixed so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. Right? So, pointed out is that the mind, it's about the mind. The whole process is technically about the mind. Right? So devotional service means engaging the senses in the Lord's service. Right? Now, can you do that without your mind? Right? I mean, it's technically just, you know, getting medical here. If someone has a lobotomy, do they do anything? No, they just sit there. Right? There's nothing happens. Right? So the mind has to be engaged. Yes?
But our problem is that we do things when we train a little bit more.
Yes.
We do things automatically. The mind is not involved. But we do it.
No, but the mind had to accept that the.
The whole thing is that the problem that we don't advance in our consciousness so much because of being conscious.
Yes. But then, how well do the senses work? But what about unique opportunities?
We miss them.
Yes, so therefore we're not getting the best.
Mind is not involved.
So that's the point. But what we're saying is, how do you tell the mind's involved? The senses are fully engaged. So that means body. That means the senses are fully engaged. Therefore, that means the if the senses are engaged, that means the body is engaged, and that means and the senses are engaged, the mind has to be engaged. So that's why I picked the senses, because the senses are connected to the intelligence, and then using the intelligence, then buddhi yoga, then it goes nicely, because if it's just the mind only, then we come up with all kinds of amazing things. Right? Therefore, apasampradayas, that's using the mind. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be based on intelligence. Right? The mind's always involved, of course. Right? Because otherwise, how do the senses function? Right? The intelligence controls the working of the senses, but what they're going to be doing, that's the mind. Right? Because even the senses bring in information. If the mind doesn't notice it, you don't do anything with it. That's what I said. An opportunity comes up, you don't see it because you're just doing it by habit. Does that make sense? So ultimately, you're trying to get to the mind. But if we only talk about mind, then also how will people see it? They'll just see it as meditation, mental, abstract. But if we say the senses, then we know it's practical.
Right? Does that make sense?
You know, that way then you also catch the jnanis and the yogis, who would otherwise do nothing. We only talked about the mind. So that's that. Yeah. So therefore then the mind has to be fixed to the Lord. When it's connected to the Lord, then it becomes purified. Then everything works out very nicely. Does that make sense? Yes.
So in our process, training the mind means manana?
Yes. Yes, basically. When means you have to be able to hear, and then you contemplate and apply, right? But you also have to know what the goal is, the results, which we've heard from hearing. And then applying that, then we get realization. So understanding is the first step. Hearing is the first step. Understanding is the next. That is cultivated by practice. But then that understanding and practice, that combination creates realization. That makes a change in your view. Right? Realization means I view the world differently. Just like you could probably, it's a good chance you could say most smokers know smoking's bad for them. Right? I mean, it's written on the pack.
Big.
Yeah, extremely big. I remember when the law came out first, it was so small, the letters, you know? It was like, you know, you'd have to get a microscope back there. Read it, you know, better than this. Now it's like, you know, it takes up most of the box, right? And it doesn't say it's bad for health. It says this will kill you. Yeah. So they have understanding, but do they stop smoking? No, because they don't have realization. Now somebody has realization that smoking is bad for them. They don't smoke. They're dead, okay? Yeah. So they get that realization just in that last croak, you know.
Understanding is sankarshan and realization is juna. You have a need.
I think it would affect the whole thing, because then you would see it in relation to the Because so Sankarshan is the knowledge, but then there's a realization, so you actually work from the platform, I'm the soul, and like that. So I think we'll still come back to that. But then from that, you know, it would affect, therefore, your how you desire, what you desire, in the end, your endeavor. Yeah.
It seems that the mind never stops functioning. No. As soon as we reach certain level that we aspired for, then moves quickly, like rapidly,
yes,
forward.
Yes, yes. That's the whole thing, is that you have to do all the preliminaries, because once you get there, then things move really fast. So someone who's very good at something meant that they had the determination to stay through that beginning period. Like someone was mentioning to me just a couple of days ago, that let's say one does exercise, that you do the exercise the one time, you don't really get any benefit. I mean, if you call the sore muscle benefit, then yes, you get benefit. But it's actually saying it's after months you get the real benefit. Like, let's say 6 months, if you do it regularly for 6 months, then you feel, you know, the elements of health, the inspiration, you like doing it. But he says that first 6 months, you're not getting as much benefit. So that's the whole thing. If you stick at it, then you'll get it. So it's the same way with anything. Like here, you stuck at. Now, the part of this study that I thought was going to be the most difficult was actually the most easy, because there was 4 years of preparation. Like that. Because the first time we went through it, when we were just started at that point, it took us 1.5 years to do the second canto. And most of that was on the 10th chapter. At least 6 months was on the 10th chapter. 9th chapter. Yeah. But when you deal with it little bit all the way through, then it was actually the quickest chapter. Because then applying it into the universal form, primary, secondary creation, that was where it was more difficult. You know, because it was a new area of application. We'd seen it on the level of the Gita and other things. But then in this aspect, then this was something new. So, yes, so it's all about catching the mind. But the catching the mind is it has to be practically applied. It's not about sitting around. Right? It's about doing something. So therefore we make the point of the senses. But the mind comes with the senses come with the mind. The senses won't function unless the mind chooses to do something. And the mind can only express through the senses. Does that make sense? So that's why when the mind is the most important thing to a person, you get an artist. Because it's about expressing the mind. Because they say, I have to express myself. But like for an intellectual, then he gets up and he has the board with all kinds of things. He can't even tell what they've written, though it's all mathematics. Right? And they've expressed themselves. Right? And you look, it's pretty messy. Not a whole lot of art going on there. You know what I'm saying? And then you have somebody else who is just, if they can establish that I'm good, I'm special, you know, like that, then they've expressed themselves. They're a false ego. You know, so like that, it's just a matter of, it's just one of the ways. Like that. So the mind, that's why it said the mind should be controlled by the intelligence, then the application will be higher. And that should be controlled by the consciousness. So if we're functioning in Krishna consciousness, then everything else becomes perfect, no matter what it is. Even if it is art, it becomes perfect. Okay, so the dirty things are removed when you can mechanically do it up to a point, but you'll only really remove it when you connect to Krishna. So if you start with connecting it to Krishna, then the process of removing the dirty things from the heart goes much quicker. Chapter 3, questions 29 to 30. Question 29, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.1-2. After hearing about the process of transcendental realization that Sukadev Goswami explains to Maharaj Briket, what if the listener replies that his heart is host to other desires? Should he remain on the path of spiritual attainment? Should he still worship and fix his mind only on Krishna? And for achieving material benefits, may he worship demigods? So now it's the point is, okay, then that's how you remove everything. And that's fine if that's what you want. Now, what happens if you find that there's other desires, like host to other desires? Doesn't mean it's just sitting there. And we're in one corner with a pitchfork, and it's in the other corner snarling and hissing. You know, we're saying host. You know, they've knocked on the door. We've opened it. We've invited them in, given a nice place to sit. You know, taking care of them, see that they're comfortable, right? You know, told them that my house is your house. You know, like this. We've done all this. Right, so now what do you do? So should he remain on the spiritual path? You know, should he take up, material life and get into that and wait till, they all go away? So should he remain fixed on Krishna? Or is the person in that position, does he worship someone else? Right? And if he's worshiping Krishna, then does he also worship the other demigods for the material? Krishna for the spiritual, demigods for the material. Does that make sense? So these are all standard bewilderments within the Vedic system. So the point comes back, like you said before, is that no, it's all about the Supreme Lord, as we see he'll conclude. Because the point is that you have other desires, it's still bent about knowing more about Krishna than just all, how to apply these technical elements. Those deal with those hosts of desires. You don't have to approach the demigods or anybody else. So it remains with Krishna. Question 30, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.13. What did Maharaj Prakrit again inquire from Sukadeva Goswami after hearing all that he had said? Right, so in other words, what's discussion has been now, so that's good. So what else did he inquire about? Chapter 4, questions 31 to 33. Question 31, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.6. I beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead, by his personal energies, creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. Question 32, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.7. Kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansions in maintaining, again, winding up the phenomenal world in the sporting spirit of a player. Right? So how he creates it, how he maintains it, how he winds it up. Right? So how all this is that. Because the interesting thing is how the Lord is doing. We generally tend to look at it from this side, the mechanics of it. And then we get to the Lord. Here he's starting with the Lord. How does the Lord do all this? So therefore, we see there, if you start from how did the Lord create, maintain, and destroy the whole creation, therefore, then how does the Lord, then when the Lord says, Sarva Dharma Paritya Ja, give up all varieties of religion, surrender unto me, means I start with the Lord. Then I look at how religion and everything is expanded from him and engage that in the service. You catch the difference? The one is, I'm engaged in religious activities according to my dharma, whether it's Vedic or not. Mlecha dharma is a dharma of Mleches, right? So, therefore, we're doing that. We're following. Then we're taking that, connecting it to Krishna because of our attachment to those dharmas, right? But then pure devotion means you come to the point where I start with Krishna. I want to please him. He's expanded as everything. So therefore, what is available to me within this unlimited creation that I can engage in the Lord's service? Therefore, we come back to our particular dharma. But if you start from that side, you don't necessarily have to settle for mlecha dharma. Right? We can function on human. Does that make sense? Okay, question 33. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.9. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. Whether he alone acts with the modes of material nature or simultaneously expands in many forms or expands consecutively to direct the modes of nature. Right? So he's one person. It's his potencies or his expansions who take care of this. So either it's the expansions or the transformations that take care of it. But that'll all be done through his potency. Because the effect is going to be his potency. He's always going to be the cause. Right? So that therefore you can say as the energy expands, But how does it expand? It expands because he expands. Right? It means, does that make sense? Radharani expands as the Dham, but Krishna expands as Balaram. Does that make sense? So this connection now between the Dham and Balaram. Right? And she expands as Lakshmi because then the Lord has expanded as Narayan. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But if you look, so tattva, you look at it that way. If you're looking at rasa, because of that mood, therefore this mood manifests. So because she has that mood of Lakshmi, Narayan manifests. So you have both aspects. Does that make sense? That's why the Pancharat, remember when Prabhupada was talking about how the creation works in Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudha, and Vasudeva. And then it's mentioned that this is how it functions, and Vasudeva is the main. But you can look at it in another way. And he pointed out how it works, but he says the Pancharatra supports our first presentation. But the other is correct, so it's just a matter of whether you're looking from tattva or rasa, basically, is how these things work. Because in tattva, who's the supreme? Krishna. But in rasa, you know, Krishna has broken the yogurt pot. Who's supreme here? Mother Jashoda. He's the one in trouble, not her. Yes.
So it's not that you know, Narayan first
expands
and then the Lakshmi?
They're non-different. And we're saying this is, but why would he take that form of Narayan? What's the purpose?
Those devotees who worship him in that mood.
Okay, so, but what is the purpose of that worship?
Majesty?
No, that's the form it takes, but why are they doing it? Why worship in that way?
They like it.
And, but, what's likable about it? No, the form is there. But
pleases the Lord. Pleases the Lord.
Pleases the Lord. And why do they want to please the Lord?
Love.
Okay, so in other words, he takes the form of Narayan because then the devotees can worship him in that way, express their love in that way. So that's the rasa side. But, the same point, from tattva side, being the Supreme Lord means all aspects of Godhead are there in him. Whether they're manifest or not. In Braja Krishna, they're not manifest. But in Vaikuntha, then that aspect is there. Does that make sense? So you have both the aspects. That's why you can say it's from Vasudeva that Sankarshan comes. Or you can say technically, no, Sankarshan expands, and then in that situation, now he can perform that pastime. Or it can be is that pastime is desired to be performed, therefore Sankarshan expands and creates the simile. But because we see that Balaram, Ananta, you know, Lakshman, they all have the mood of service, therefore we can understand Vasudeva is the primary. Yeah.
Can we say in the spiritual world, tattva follows rasa, and then here, rasa follows tattva?
Yes. And that's on a good day. If someone actually knows the tattva of what they're doing, so they get rasa. That's why somebody does something, they don't get any taste, because they don't know how to do it. Right? Means you should get some taste. Doing a material activity properly, you should get some taste. The point is whether that taste is enough for you.
It's never enough,
right? In the beginning, it seems like enough because you're new at it, but once you get used to it, then you find it's never enough. And why not? Because it's material and the soul is spiritual. But because the soul identifies with the material, there's the potential that this will be great. So in other words, there's that saying about the chase is more interesting than, you know, the catching. There's an actual standard phrase for that.
Something like the pleasures in the chase.
Yeah, something.
In the hunt.
Yeah, pleasures in the chase, the hunt. You know? Like that. Because once you get it, now what do you do with it? You know, it's just like, you know, you know, everybody's there, there's the lines and everything, all the doors are locked, you know, the windows are papered, you know, like that. And then, you know, 6 o'clock is there, the doors open, you know, those thousands of ladies yelling and screaming go running inside, right? And then they all run up, two of them see one item simultaneously, they both jump on it and they're fighting with it and, you know, whatever it is. And then finally one gets it and they're, you know, great, this is fabulous, you know, this is so important to them. But now that once they bought it, when do you wear that? It's so unique, so special. How often can you wear it? Yeah, once. That's it. So that's the whole point. So therefore, it's in the process. That's why devotional service. The process is prominent. Because once you get the goal, there has to be a next one. So that's just how it works. So in the spiritual world, it's not a problem. Material world, it is. Like that. See, Krishna's unlimited. So Krishna, it is God, and he's unlimited. We think we're God, and we're not unlimited. So therefore, that's where the problem comes in. Okay, question 5. I mean, chapter 5, question 34. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.1. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. Right, so then how to... verse 1. Oh, no, that's your one. Oh, okay, that's just fine. So that's what you want to try to get. Now we've heard all that. Now what brings it together where you see the Lord and the living entity? Because if you're talking just living entity, you're talking super soul. Right? But we can say, no, what about living entity and Krishna? But what does Krishna mean? Krishna means, Bhagavan means love. We're just talking about God. So therefore there's the God and the living entity. So therefore the soul and Paramatma. That's the natural point. Now, that if you cultivate that, then that turns into the loving relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? It's quite standard. Question 8. Oh, chapter 8, questions 35 through 41. Question 35, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.1. Please instruct me about the teachings of Narad Muni. How did Narad Muni, whose hearers are as fortunate as those instructed by Lord Brahma, explain the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is without material qualities? And before whom did he speak? All right, so he's fortunate, so who are the fortunate hearers who then heard from him? Right? So how did he express all this? What did they discuss? Question 36. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.8, 10 and 17. Please instruct me about the personality of Godhead. I wish to know the difference between the Lord's universal body and the bodies of the living entities. Right? Because there's the point is, since he's everything expanded into everything, how, you know, so then that would mean everybody's bodies are universal forms, so therefore are they worshipable also? Right? You know, ask any Hindu about the baby. You know, that's the philosophy. Right? Maybe they don't even have to be Hindu. Okay, but whatever. I should be more gracious here, not just limited. So. 8. I wish to know how the super soul in the heart of all living beings, who is the Lord of all cosmic energies, yet who is untouched by them. So how does the Lord, who is in everything, how does he deal and he's not controlled by the modes? How he's not affected? That's the point, it's his energies. And he's being the source of all energies, and you've been like that since time immemorial, and you will be like that eternally. How much joy do you get out of that?
Not much.
Right, not much, you know. You know, first, you know, a couple of moments you might get a smirk, but since it's eternal, when did the smirk happen? Right, you know. So therefore, then it's about rasa, it's about affection. That is interesting. So in the material platform, there's no affection. The living entity is attracted by God, but no affection for God. Right? You're attracted by God, you have affection for the mundane aspect, right? I'm attracted by God in the car, but my affection is to the car. That's what happens. So therefore, how will the Lord get taste out of that? But because it's just like, let's say, but when they say, why should he do that? It would be just like this. Why does the mother take care of the child when they're sick and not actually interacting?
She's saying that he will become healthy.
Yeah, become healthy. Because there's a natural relationship. So even though this is not functioning on the natural relationship, but that natural affection is there. So from the Lord's side, the relationship's in place. It just cannot be reciprocated. Does that make sense? It's just like the child is there, and, you know, he's three, you know, so the father's taking him around, showing him the properties, talking about this, showing him the factory. Okay, so in the father's mind, what day is he waiting for? Right? The day when he can turn that over to the son values it and can run it as well, if not better, than the father. Right? You know, so when that happens... Does that make sense? He gets out that bottle he's been saving, you know, all these things happen. Right? So that's the point. Because there's a natural relationship. But it has to come from the side of the living entity. Does that make sense? We have to come to the platform of praying. He already has love for us. Right? Okay. We're part of God. What's not to love, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so in this case, maturity means praying.
Maturity means praying. Yeah. Or at least the appreciation that that is. So in other words, even intellectually one's considered mature when one understands, no, devotional service is the only thing of value. There is nothing else of value, because that was discussed in the beginning. Because otherwise you think, oh, this is there, and so should do some yoga, do this, do that, that'll help, you know, then it'll make it work. That means you can engage them. But the point is, okay, why do yoga? Oh, it makes the mind peaceful. But what really makes the mind peaceful is Krishna. It's Krishna's rules of yoga, right? Health. Krishna's really the health. So it's actually, again, still only Krishna. So if you're doing yoga because you think yoga is the one that's making it happen, then you'll always be distracted. It'll never quite work out. But if you're doing it because, you know, actually the point is Krishna, then you'll see it works nicely, and as it's useful, it's used, and when it's not useful, it's not used. Is that make sense? It's different. Okay. And then tell me about the activities of the different incarnations of the Lord in different ages. So we had how he's in the between the universal body of the Lord, right, Brahman, Paramatma, and now as Bhagavan, as the incarnations performing pastimes. Right. So tell me the difference between all that. I mean, one, explain all these, and also just make sure the difference, since everything's Brahman, what's the difference between the universal form as Brahman and the living entities as Brahman? Right? Their bodies, and so yeah. Question 37, Srimad Bhagavatam 287, 16, 21 through 22. Please instruct me about the individual living entity. So that was instruct me about the personality of Godhead, his three features. Does the spirit soul acquire his body accidentally, or is there a cause? Because right. Otherwise, if it's accidental, then, you know, you can't put too much pressure on me that I'm not doing things right, because this conditioning that I have is distracting me from devotional service is not my fault. It's accidental. Right? But now if there's a cause for it, and somehow or another I'm connected with that cause, then I have to listen to all these instructions. Please describe the character and activities of great souls and the characteristics of the castes and orders of social life. So the character and activities of great souls, because that's the real point. Now that's applied then within... Now if you want to expand it, you have these great souls. Right? Now, much of the time we think of great souls. Who are we thinking of?
Previous acharyas,
great saints, Narad Muni, you know, like this. So, you know, a few of them are sitting there in the forest. Then it's just these character and that's fine. What does it take? Now, you know, there's a few of them there. They go down to the river and bathe, you know, some fruits and berries, they eat that, or if nothing's there, then they go back down to the river and drink some water. You know, anything else? You know, when they're awake, they talk about Krishna, do sadhana. When they're asleep, they dream about Krishna.
Nice.
Did we miss out anything? No. Okay. Now, what happens if we want to make this character and lifestyle available for everybody? You need a social system. Because they are manifesting this character to different degrees. So you have to have a social system that can accommodate from basically zero character up to Paramahansa. So Varnashram is the only thing that can do that. It's the only system that is that wide. That's why we say it is the middle path, it is the wide range. Everything else is narrow, and it's on one side or the other. It's the only thing that can handle everything. Okay. Right, so we see the connection. It's the social system is connected to the character and activities of great souls. That's its only purpose. 16, please tell me how the living entities are generated, how they are maintained, and how they are annihilated. Because the soul is eternal, so then how is the bodies created, maintained, and destroyed? The next, merged in the body of the Lord after annihilation, how again are they created? How do the atheists appear in this world? How do souls who are unconditioned exist? Right? Question 38. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8, 11, 15, 16, 19. Please instruct me about material nature. What is the actual position of the planetary systems within the gigantic body of the Virat Purush? Right, so how do they connect? What's the relationship? Why do we say they're connected in this way? Please describe how the creation of the globes through the universe, the four directions of the heavens, the sky, the planets, the stars, the mountains, the rivers, the seas, and the islands, as well as their different kinds of inhabitants, takes place. Right. So all the situations within that. So what's the flavors of the planetary systems, and within them, what is the particular uniqueness of each situation? Please tell me how the inner and outer space of the universe in specific dimensions, so how much does this fit into it? Right? Because for us, it's a great, big, huge, monstrous, unlimited place that somehow or another is stuffed into 4 billion miles. And even that, it's only within the local mountains. Outside that, nobody lives. Right? So we're talking basically a space from the water of the navel of Vishnu up to Brahma's lotus, and the width of 1 billion miles. That's what we're talking about. That's within the lotus stem. Now, much of that is uninhabited. So it somehow or another reduces our thinking of how great we are when we understand that. And then that is only inside all these 10 coverings that are each 10 times thicker than whatever it is inside. You know. So like that. And that's a mustard seed compared to Mahavishnu. And that's only 1/4 of the spiritual world. You know, so we get pretty small here. Kindly explain all about the elementary principles of creation, the number of such elementary principles, their causes, and their development. So what's everything based on? Because if I know what it's based on, I can take it apart. Right? Because otherwise, it's also as if it's unlimited. But it's not. It has its specific functions. Right? We take it down, there's 8 elements. Right? 5 gross, 3 subtle. Everything's made of that. That's controlled by the senses, the sense of, and the modes of nature. Right? So everything's manifest through these 8. Right? Then from there, then you can break it down into finer points. Like I think it mentions there's, I can't remember how many there are, but something like 50 or something, 56 different kinds of fire. So, you know, all these kinds of things. Now, they've only discovered some of them. It's like out of 8,400,000, I think they're up to what, 1.5 million, or between 1.5 and 2 million species. You know, so they haven't even gotten actually up to 1/4 yet of what's there. Right? So now if we understand what's there, then it breaks it down again. Because the whole point is how to break it down. Right? Question 40. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.14. Please instruct me about karma.
surprised we didn't do 39.
We did do 39. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, question 39. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.12, 13, and 17. Please instruct me about time. What is the duration of time between creation and annihilation? And what of other subsidiary creations? What is the nature of time indicated by the sound of past, present, and future? Please explain the duration and measurement of life of the different living entities known as the demigods, the human beings, etc., in different planets of the universe. Please also explain the cause of the different durations of time, both short and long, as well as the beginnings of time following the course of action. Because right? Otherwise we have this idea, we create it. You know, it's like that. You know, we'll freeze the guy and then extend his life. No, he's dead and frozen. He was just dead. Now he's dead and frozen. You know, so the only thing you've added is frozen. You haven't added actually anything else. And please explain all the different ages and the duration of creation, also duration of such ages, right? So it's not that we create the ages. It means if you're God conscious, then that will affect the age, as we saw. It's Parasaram. After he did his pastime, then when the Kshatriya women approached the great sages and that, then you got a class of Kshatriyas who ruled the world in such mode of goodness that even the animals were practicing higher principles, and then everything was like Satya Yuga. But it's not that we just say, or it's not just about this and that. You know, we can't just sing it's the age of Aquarius when Aquarius doesn't come for another 600 years, you know, so that's going to be, that's a little bit of time, right? You know,
according to Sri Siddhartha, it never comes.
It never comes. The age of Aquarius. Wow. Anyway, wow.
Well, that's...
This is a big frustration.
Yeah, no, that's a problem. So they should all throw in their, their flower wreaths and... That's interesting. Okay. We just have this is the time for the break. Should we break and come back, or just do these little bit and then end? Okay. Question 40. Please instruct me about karma. Please describe how the proportionate accumulation of the reactions resulting from the different modes of material nature act upon the desiring living being, promoting or degrading him among the different species of life, beginning from the demigods down to the most insignificant creatures. Right? So how does this karma work? How do the modes of nature act on the reaction to your action, so the individual's action, that then generates all the different situations, bodies, and everything? How does that function? Yes?
This part, questions, five topics given by Srila Bhagavad Gita Devotion in introduction to Vedanta Sutra, and Prabhupada in introduction to Gita. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma.
Yeah. Yes. So he sees that that's the... That is knowledge.
Yes. That's the Sambandha.
Yeah. Question 41. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.18, 20 and 21. Please instruct me about dharma. Right? So now knowing those things, now what should you do?
So that's definitely.
Yes. Because otherwise, once you know this, then what should I do about it? You have this knowledge. We should do something with knowledge. Because knowledge actually isn't knowledge until it's applied. You know, that's why technically we can say so-called scholars. Because they're not applying it. Right. Means teaching it to the next generation to create another teacher to teach that to the next generation is not actually applying it. So does that make sense? Yeah.
Is that why chit is abhideya?
Yeah, chit is abhideya, so it's knowledge and activity. You have to have both, so the knowledge and the endeavor. That combination, that's what works. So it establishes your relationship, and then it establishes the endeavor. Okay. Please instruct me about religious principles. Okay. In general, what are the common religious affiliations of human society? What are the specific occupational duties in religion? common religious affiliations of human society. You have to have common ground. If we're going to call it a society, there must be common ground that all elements of society connect together. Right? What are the specific occupational duties in religion? Right? Now, what are the duties in religion? It means you have a religion, so what are the duties of it? Right? It means there's a nature, so what are the duties? We're taking it, no, the duties is whatever we establish. You know, but how can we establish? If we're saying we're establishing duties, that means technically we're establishing religion. And who establishes religion? God. That's the rule. So that's the flaw in trying to take, you know, in the discussion in class yesterday, trying to take the modern principle as the basis. Points that are being made may have validity, but you can't do it by creating your own religious system. You have to do it by following the system that already exists. How are the social orders as well as the administrative royal orders classified? What are the religious principles for one who may be in distress? Right. So then you have these specific occupational duties, and then how that generates all these different applications. What are the religious principles for one who may be in distress? In other words, you can't perform your normal duties. So how do you stay within your occupation, but perform duties that are, you know, secondary? What are the opulences of the great mystics, and what is their ultimate realization? How does the perfect mystic become detached from the subtle astral body? What is the basic knowledge of the Vedic literatures, including the branches of history and the supplementary Puranas? Right, so the real opulence is that detachment from the material world and knowledge of the Supreme. Right? So when that's there, then that's how you detach yourself, and that's what's the actual point of all these 14 branches of Vedic knowledge. Otherwise, then, you know, just so much more discussion, mundane discussion. Tell me also of the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions? Okay, So here's what are the advantages and disadvantages. So advantages, you go back to Godhead. Disadvantage, you won't be in the material world. So if you consider that a disadvantage, don't take up devotional service. If you don't consider that a disadvantage, then devotional service is what you're looking for. Right? It'll be like saying, what are the advantages and disadvantages of being rich? Well, the advantage is you're rich. The disadvantage, you're not poor anymore. What to do? Yeah. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions of the supplementary Vedic rites, and what are the procedures of religion, economic development, sense gratification? So how to deal with all those? Right? So what are they, and what are their procedures, and then naturally then how they're applied? Because you have rituals, but how do they apply in dharma, artha, and kama? Because we've already discussed moksha and all that. So we see as we're discussing the spiritual aspect first, then we're discussing these. You know. Right? It's just like we deal with we get the Bhagavat mantras first, then being established in those, then we can get the Pancharatrik and Vedic. Chapter 10. Right, so interesting, the most technical, philosophical point we see is all about how to actually apply all that in the Lord's service, because that's what it's for, right? The whole point of the Chaturshloki is how to apply these elements of Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan in devotional service at all times, places, and circumstances. Therefore, then naturally, what are the rules of all these activities that I would use them through. I would use devotional service through. Yeah. Chapter 10, question 42. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:10:49-50. Let us know, please, what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya. Who talked on transcendental subject, and what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya also. Also, please let us know the reason for Vidura's giving up the connection of his family members and why he again came home. Right? Because otherwise, someone gives up and leaves, they don't go back home. But he went back home so that he could get his brother detached and take him back to the forest. So it wasn't he was coming back home to enjoy himself, he came back home just to get his brother. You know, the Pandavas are already rightly situated. You don't have to worry about them. Without any instruction, then they immediately left for the forest. But without a month of instruction, then Dhritarashtra was not willing to go to the forest. Please also let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the places of pilgrimage. Right? So, also, as one may say, but isn't this the beginning of the next? But this one ends by it concludes, and so and now you see the clear where it's going to go to the next. Because the next one then starts the discussion of this. So that's many times what I've noticed when in the modern academic method, when they're going through and categorizing like Vedic verses and things, they'll always take, this verse will be connected to the next chapter. They would say it doesn't belong here. It belongs to the next chapter. It belongs here. Because this is the conclusion of all that. So in other words, everything before brought you to this. That's why it's concluded. Now we'll start a new topic with the next chapter, which may be based on this. So in other words, the next chapter's discussion is based on the topics of this. Otherwise, if I take this out of here, I don't see the connection between the two chapters. And if I don't see the connection between the two chapters, what's the advantage? No conclusion. And if there's no conclusion, then I can go on speculating eternally. But now if I connect it according to the Vedic method, I'll come to conclusion. Conclusion means that if it's real knowledge, I have to apply it. And if I apply it, I have to get realization. And then I can no longer be an armchair or speculator. Right? As long as they don't know about it, they still might pay you to give the lectures. But if they find out, then you got a problem.
Why do you say this is sanctity?
Yeah, this is the Sangati. This is what connects now this canto to the next. And so we'll see when it comes to the next, then Sukadeva Goswami will refer back. So there'll always be these connections. That's the point. So the modern tends to leave out connections other than gross. Like that. Psychiatrists get into the subtle and they miss the gross. You know, other scientists get into grossness, the subtle. So we deal with both. Okay. End of the study guide to the second canto. Arriba, we made it through. Yes.
I put together a question yesterday about maybe talking on the Russian mechanics. I'm not really sure if I finished.
No, that was taken out because it wasn't ready.
It wasn't ready.
Yeah, that wasn't ready. It was good resource, but it wasn't. So that's. So any other questions? No? Okay. So then finish, you know, whatever it is, writing things like this and that, and discussions, and then. Be starting again this next September. You know what Vishwarupa Mahotsav is?
9th of September.
9th. And 10th is what day of the week?
Weekend.
You have a day?
The 9th is a Tuesday.
So 10th is Wednesday?
Yes.
So then it means we start on Thursday, the 11th.
11th September.
That's funny. So don't send it out in too many emails or messages. Otherwise, you might have certain how do you call it? Servers checking on everything that you do for a while.
No, this is confidential.
Yeah. You know, or at least make sure you mention Porsche. Yeah, class will be starting on Porsche 911. One of their models is 911. Yeah, and then so that'll be third canto, both volumes, and the first volume of fourth canto. So we'll deal with three volumes. Okay. And then we'll also be dealing with Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the first book, which is on the Dhammas, right?
On Narada Muni travel.
Yeah, so it's so his is on the devotees. Yeah, so Narada Muni.
Dhamma is the second
part. Second part, okay. So then that'll be on. So that the morning class will be Bhagavatam, the evening class will be Brihat Bhagavatam. Yes.
When do you get Bhakti Anuchana again?
The Bhakti Anuchana. The problem is the putting it together. Because technically it's a 3-year course itself. You know, one class. You know, yeah. But in itself it's a 3-year course. No. Like that, because the point is the people who are putting these together are the same ones who will be putting that together. Good chance. Yeah. It's not, because the idea is it'll run in the first 3 years. So the first 3 years we'd run three classes like we were. So there'd be one for the main book. I mean, so like what we had now is the things that are of this course, and then that, you know, of the what do you call it, the Bachelor of Divinity, and then it will be the you know, the 10 to 12 that time will be there. And so then with those three, then that would finish that course. So since it wasn't ready, then we've done with that. Anything else? Thank you very much. Everything is nice. Sweets.
Thank you for all the instructions, Maharaj.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Very appreciative.
Being here, not going. I was getting a little worried yesterday. It was yesterday, no. Friday. It was like halfway through, everybody was getting up and walking by. At the end of the class, thinking, we do something wrong here. Today, everybody's back, so.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki Jai, Jai Nidai Gaura ki.